Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests. First is Carol Malice. She is the contributing author of the great new book, Teeing Up for Success, Insights and Inspiration from Extraordinary Women, and is presented by the Executive Women's Golfing Association Foundation. Carol is going to be speaking about how golf mirrors work and life and how it can lead to your success. Then we're going to be speaking with Nancy Kosick, certified etiquette and protocol expert and trainer from the Nancy Kosick Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette, is going to be talking about how to make positive first impression in business. And we are talking today with Carol Malice. She's the contributing editor of the new great book, Teeing Up for Success, Insights and Inspirations from Extraordinary Women. It's presented by the EWGA Foundation, a golfing foundation that we're going to talk a lot about today. Carol, welcome to the show.
Great to be on the show, David. Thank you.
Great. Hey, you know, this is quite a book. I had an opportunity over the weekend to skim through it, and I read your chapter especially. But, you know, it's unusual to see books that are produced by almost, what is it, about over 30 different women wrote in this book. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how did this idea come about? Tell me a little bit about this book and the success you're having with it.
Sure. Well, as you know, women haven't been on the golf course as much or as long as men, but they're beginning to understand that being on the golf course is important to business relationships and building those relationships. And so the Executive Women's Golf Association was designed, just as the name implies, for executive women who want to learn how to play golf and have golf as a business tool. And the foundation is part of the Executive Women's Golf Association, and the foundation specifically raises money for scholarships for young women to be able to pursue college educations so that they can have successful business careers and play golf. And so this book is really a project of the foundation to enable that to happen. And the 30 authors were all invited to ask if they'd like to share their story, their personal story, about how golf has impacted their life and their business careers.
And that's really what the book is kind of about, how golf mirrors life, mirrors work, mirrors an individual's careers and aspirations. You talk a little bit about that in your chapter, and we'll get to that. But one of the things I find interesting about this is your discussion about women on the golf course. So maybe you can tell the audience how you have found that to be so successful and why.
Yes, well, I started playing golf about 20 years ago. I can't believe it's that many years already, but when I started to play golf, I started by myself. And I took lessons by myself, and I started to practice on the course by myself, and I was amazed at how few women there were on the golf course, and also how difficult it was to not feel like you were intimidated or didn't belong on the golf course because you just didn't see other women at a beginner's level the way that I was. So what I found was that there were probably other women like myself who wanted to learn how to play, who probably had husbands or boyfriends who played golf and played very well and felt that they couldn't start to play because they really didn't have the experience or the confidence really to play. So in my experience, I said, there's got to be a way for women like me who want to learn how to play to find other women who want to learn how to play. And through a mutual colleague, we discovered there was the Executive Women's Golf Association and that they had chapters all over the country, but there wasn't a chapter in Rhode Island. So we decided we would start up the Rhode Island chapter, which we did in 2005, and we grew very quickly because there was so much interest in learning how to play golf. And it's a particularly great tool for people who do business development, attorneys, accountants, financial planners, people who really are building relationships. And so it's a really great tool to build community, to build a client base, and also to gain new friends. So one of the stories we love to tell is about one of our colleagues who consistently worked 12-hour days, and we finally got her to get out on the golf course and have not only a business life, but a business and golf life at the same time.
You have many inspirational messages throughout the entire chapter, and there are throughout the whole book. Do you find that this book and its story is inspiring more women to be able to do what you're talking about doing through this program?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, whenever I talk to someone about playing golf, they've always had an interest in playing golf, but they were just like me. They really didn't know how to go about it. They felt like they might be too old, it might be too late, or if they're a younger professional, they don't know anyone else who is playing golf. They know that only the men in their organization play, so they're not sure how to break the paradigm that they can't play as well. So both for young and older women, this book is a tool in the fact that it has stories about how each person, each of these 30 women, faced some kind of barrier or some situation that they had to overcome in order to really experience golf and to learn to love it and to enjoy it and to feel comfortable on the golf course. And I think one of the things that happens for women who are reaching senior management level roles is that they're often asked to play in a corporate golf outing, and they feel like they'd like to be there, but they're not confident enough to do that. And so more and more women, as they reach more positions of senior level management, are realizing that they do need to be on the golf course. And so an organization like EWJ is a very helpful vehicle for learning how to do that.
In your chapter, which is chapter 5, Staying the Course in Golf and in Life, the first quote right here says, "Golf is the closest game to the game we call life. You get bad breaks from good shots, you get good breaks from bad shots. But you have to play the ball where it lies." And that's Bobby Jones.
Yes.
So, you know, that really rings true, I think, to most professionals that are out there, where they have to take the hand that they're dealt, right? Whether it's at work, at home, personally, professionally, whatever it is. And golf does mirror that.
Yes, it does. I love the parallel of golf to life, and that's really what my chapter looks at, because there are so many parallels like that. That when you're playing golf and you're learning how to hit the ball, and you have that thrilling moment where you hit it well, and you all of a sudden you're brilliant, and you say, "Oh, I knew I was brilliant, but I just needed this opportunity to prove it to myself." And that is what hooks you on wanting to play, that you know within yourself you have this wonderful potential, you can do it, and sometimes it just happens, and then you realize, yes, I can. And so I think when people have a moment like that, both men and women on the golf course, that's really when they get hooked. And it translates to your work. You realize that I can do the same thing at work, at the office, at my company. I can do something that's really outstanding, something that's true to me, that works for the company, that works for me. And so that parallel is really what it's even more fun to play, and even more fun to play with business colleagues who are all experiencing that at some level.
Well, in that chapter, you talk about how Staying the Course in Golf and Life describes how I found in my work that successful executives and professionals follow 5 basic principles. And you go through the five being: begin with a vision, master adversity, develop resilience, act confidence, and finish strong. How about giving us an overview here of those 5? And I will say, we are talking with Carol Malice today. She is the contributing author of Teeing Up for Success. By the way, she does have a day job. She's a vice president and executive coach with a company called New Directions in Boston, Massachusetts. We'll talk a little about that later. But, you know, let's talk about these 5 basic principles. Want to go through them?
Sure. Sure. Well, these principles really, I learned these principles not only through my career, but also in coaching executives, that in order for you to be really successful, you have to have some kind of vision of what it is you're trying to accomplish or what it is you'd like to have happen. And that has to be a personal vision. So learning how to figure out what is that personal vision, defining it, writing it down, having it as an inspiration is really the big picture way of where am I going and how am I going to get there. But of course, like with anything, once you have a vision like that, lots of obstacles pop up in your way. So that's just how life is. You think things are going to go smoothly, and then Murphy's Law happens and all kinds of things happen that you didn't expect. And so there are problems you have to solve. And so it's really learning how to solve them in a positive, aggressive kind of way of using your energy to solve these problems so that you can realize your vision. I think a lot of people find that when obstacles get put in their way, they tend to retreat or they tend to question themselves or the direction they're going in, and realizing that these are just parts of the roadmap, that there is a way to solve these problems and to move on. So that's really the second part.
Yeah, that's
of that
mastering
lesson.
Mastering adversity. And you have a paragraph in here. I'll just read it quickly. It says, golf is an incredibly difficult game. High expectations combined with passion can yield immense frustration when your round doesn't turn out the way you had imagined it. However, it only takes one great shot to make all the pain and disappointment go away, and that's what keeps us coming back.
Yes. It is really, really frustrating. If you've practiced, if you've taken lessons, if you've done everything you possibly can to be ready to play, and you go out and one day you have a terrible round and the ball goes in the woods or it hits the rocks or it hits the water sprinkler and bounces onto the next fairway, everything that possibly can go wrong goes wrong. And it's really how you deal with that and how you master that. And that's why I love watching golf on television. Many people find it boring, but if you watch the incredible shots they make when they're in tough situations, I find those really inspiring and great examples of problem solving.
Well, you said, yeah, it certainly is. And that's the third part, developing resilience.
Yes. Yes, so when you're in the situation, it's how you handle it. It's do you handle it with in a cool, calm, and collective way, or do you get frustrated and throw your golf clubs? And we've seen people do that, even on television, throw their golf clubs into the water or hit the ground with their golf club. And golf is really designed to be a sport where there's good etiquette and manners. And so part of being a champion, I think, on the golf course is understanding that and being a leader and demonstrating behavior that other people will want to follow. So that's also part of it.
Sure, and that's the fourth one, acting confident, right?
Yes, so you have to, even if you're having a bad day and all your shots are going in all different directions or whatever is happening, you have to find that zone that you have, that each person has, and try to get back into that zone so that you can turn it around. And I think that's a very challenging lesson, just like in life. How am I going to turn this around? And so if you're angry or frustrated, that energy is not conducive to turning it around and moving forward. So really learning how to manage yourself, manage your emotions, and go back to that vision. What am I trying to do? What's my vision? Where's the ball supposed to go? What do I need to do to make that happen? Those are all the same thing that you have at work is what you have on the golf course.
And that, of course, leads to number five, finishing strong.
Right. So if you have had that bad round and you never were able to turn it around throughout the round, you have 18 chances, 18 holes to and more, to more shots on each of those holes, but you have a lot of opportunity to turn around, and some days it's just not going to turn around, and so you have to be able to manage that. It's the hardest thing when you're first learning how to play is not to come home dejected or ready to quit, because what inevitably happens is you hit that shot, and it could be the last shot of the day, and it's brilliant, and you say, well, how do I just keep repeating that? How do I do that again? How do I make that happen the next time I come out on the course? So finishing strong is really important, but again, it starts with your vision. If you have the vision, then you'll know when you're finishing that you either still have the vision and you have to work a little bit differently or gain some expertise in some areas that you may not have. And so you go back and practice on building those skills that you need to be able to finish strong.
And we're talking today with Carol Malas. She is the contributing author of Teeing Up for Success, Insights and Inspiration from Extraordinary Women. We're talking about golf. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are today talking with Carol Malas. She is the contributing author of Teeing Up for Success, an amazing, awesome, and fantastic book, which you should be buying on Amazon.com right now. If you aren't anywhere near a phone, you can be able to get on Amazon and buy that book because it really is an awesome book. Did I promote it enough for you, Carol?
You did.
Okay. But no, it really is, because I really think what's interesting about this is the inspiration that comes through a game. And I think one of the things that when we talked off air, we talked about how golf is one of those games you can always still get better at. And there are not a lot of games that really is true. So maybe what I'd like to have you talk about is you're talking about this, that women sometimes are held back from the game of golf. Why is that? What holds women back from really going out there and playing golf?
Well, I think some of it is just lack of experience of knowing how to get started. And so organizations like the Executive Women's Golf Association are great tools in helping people feel more comfortable, more confident about how to get started. What kind of equipment do I need? How do I learn how to play? What are the rules? When you get on the golf course, what's the proper etiquette? So there are ways to learn how to play, but pretty much it's a lack of confidence or just not knowing how to get started is what holds many women back from going on the golf course.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about it in the first section, why to play golf, building relationships, business, social, a good exercise, getting out there, the whole thing. But you mentioned one thing that was interesting. I thought that I'll key in on it, and it was that you're never too old to play golf. I'm going to tell you, some people may argue that point, but why do you say that, and why do you think that you can start even if you're in your, dare say I, 50s and or 60s, that golf is okay still to do?
Well, it's really a sport of coordination. So you don't need, for men have upper body strength, and so they're going to hit the ball long and far. And women have less of that strength. I mean, there are women who do have great upper body strength, but our natural tendency is to be more of a finesse player. So hitting the shot on the fairway is a great talent. Putting well, some of the chip and pitching shots. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that either gender doesn't do those well, do them well, but there's a tendency for one gender to be more proficient than another in certain areas. So age doesn't really affect that. We have a lot of executives at New Directions who, when they decide to retire, that golf is going to be a main pastime. So now you have more of the time to be able to do it. It takes a lot of time to be on the golf course, and more of the commitment. And by taking lessons or just getting out regularly and practicing as well, you can become fairly good on the golf course, particularly if you had another sport that you played well. You can translate that expertise on the golf course.
Now, you talked about the key point that I think that some people are out there listening and saying time, right? Time, mm-hmm. because golf is a game that does take time. I mean, the golf I play is usually on the mini golf course, and that darn windmill is my problem. But that's a separate issue altogether. It's the windmill mm-hmm. thing or that big clown mouth. You know, that's what bothers me. But you don't see that on the real golf course out there. Mm-hmm. But time is an issue. And, you know, with families and concerns, how do people, you know, manage that time and still become effective and still be good at it?
That's a good question. I think when you're first starting to play, 9 holes on the golf course is plenty. And you also have executive golf courses, which are much shorter and test your ability just to hit the ball in a short distance. So you can play that in an hour and a half to 2 hours. So for many people where they may want to ease into it or don't have all the time in the beginning, an hour and a half to 2 hours is not like a 4 or 6 hour round that you would normally play on a Saturday or Sunday. So yes, it does take time, but if you really find that you like it, you really enjoy that time out on the course, being with friends, playing a game that you love, the weather is usually beautiful, it's very serene, you're in a green, beautiful area with lots of flowers, sometimes the courses are on the water. So the beauty of the course is also a very pleasant experience, very peaceful. It's a great way to relax, as long as you're not frustrated by your own challenges on the golf course.
Well, you know, that's probably true. And certainly mm-hmm. I know you have some favorite golf courses. Where are they?
I have many favorite courses. My goal in life is to play as many courses as I can. And a couple of my favorites, one was Torrey Pines in California, which is a municipal course. It's right on the water. It's a challenging course, but it's very beautiful. And Phil Mickelson is known to frequent that course. It's in his neighborhood. So it's a beautiful course. It's affordable, and it's a lot of fun. In Rhode Island, where I live, we have Newport National, which is a links-style course. It has the beautiful white shell drive through the course. There are horseback riders that ride around the perimeter of the course. We have the beautiful view of the ocean, and it's got that long grass that kind of sways in the breeze. It's beautiful. It's challenging. You don't want your ball to go in that grass, but but the rest is just a beautiful environment. So those would be 2 of my top favorites.
Sure, sure. You know, the EWGA, or the Executive Women's Golf Association, you had mentioned that you had founded it there in Rhode Island, but that, I'm sure, is across all of the country, as I think you mentioned. Since this show broadcasts across many of the states in the nation, where could people go and find information on how to become part of this group, part of this program? How do they do that?
Well, they're welcome to call me, and I believe we're going to give contact information.
We are, and so they can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show, or you can certainly go to newdirections.com, or I believe there is a website for the Golf Association itself, ewga.com. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. So if you go on the ewga.com website, there is a function to look at the chapters in your state, and you can see in larger states, there are more than one chapter, so you can look at which chapter is closest to you and contact that chapter and express your interest in wanting to learn more about it.
You know, I said at the kind of towards the middle of the first part of the show that I talk a little about what you do because I think that it correlates so well as to your book, Teeing Up for Success. And again, we're talking with Carol Malice. She is the contributing author for this great book, Teeing Up for Success, presented by the EWJ, or the Zeccan Women's Golf Association Foundation, which you should be buying on Amazon if you're not already doing so right now as we're speaking. But really, you also do some amazing work as VP and executive coach with a company, New Directions, which really helps people with career decisions in their lives. Why don't you talk a little about what you do and how it correlates to the book so well?
Sure. So just like a book, what we do here is help professionals and executives plan for the next chapter in their lives. And we do that by talking with them about where they are now in their lives and careers, where they'd like to be, what their vision is, just like our chapter, and how we might help them navigate that new direction. So sometimes it's someone thinking about, I'd like a new position. And I'd like to know how I can find that new position. Other times, it's a longer-term view of once I finish my career, I'd like to think about my life, my legacy, giving back, what else I can do to stay engaged. And so we talk to individuals about how they might do that. We call that more of a life portfolio approach, which is looking at your personal life, the financial part of your life, the income-generating part of your life, your health, your family, other interests or aspirations you have, and taking a look at that whole picture and helping people plan for that part of their life. So sometimes we do this in a two-step process where we're working with someone and they're looking for the next career opportunity, but they also want to begin to think about the end of their career and how they might prepare for that. And so we talk about how to seed the future to prepare for that. So we have the short-term look as well as the longer-term look.
No, that's great. I mean, I think that certainly fits when you really think about this book, Teeing Up for Success, and how life mirrors golf and work mirrors golf. And I'll leave with this one quote, which I think was pretty interesting when you really think about it. It says, one of the most fascinating things about golf is how it reflects the cycle of life. No matter what you shoot, the next day you have to go back to the first tee and begin all over again and make yourself into something. Peter Jacobson. So it really does talk about exactly what that is. Each and every day you get up, you go to work, it is what you make it that day. Life is what you make it. And Carol, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. Your book, Teeing Up for Success, I know will be a huge success. And we will certainly have all your information, contact information, on the HRPowerHour.com website right after the show. People can go there quick. We'll even have a link to so that they can buy your book there. How's that? Sound good?
That sounds great. Thank you, Dave.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show very, very much today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB. The HR Power Hour is proud to announce a brand new national sponsor, Sheehan Finney Bass & Green. Sheehan Finney Bass & Green is a full-service business law firm representing local, national, and international clients with innovative approaches and practical solutions. Founded in 1937, Sheehan Finney has grown to 63 attorneys with 4 offices throughout New Hampshire and Massachusetts and is known for professional excellence, practical counsel, and committed to both its clients and the communities it serves. The firm's labor, employment, and employee benefits group represents private and public sector clients throughout New England. Their attorneys are experienced in all aspects of employment law, labor relations, and employee benefits, and assist employers in effectively navigating a wide range of complex workplace issues. They've been consistently recognized as outstanding in their field by New England Super Lawyers, Woodward White Best Lawyers in America, Chambers USA, and Business New Hampshire Magazine. So welcome, Sheehan Finney Bass & Green, to the HR Power Hour family. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter. Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. Sheehan Finney Bass and Green, innovative approaches and practical solutions. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. And we are today talking with Nancy Kosick, certified etiquette and protocol expert and trainer from the Nancy Kosick Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette, is going to be talking about how to make positive first impression in business. Nancy is returning from a segment that she did a few weeks ago. We had a great time. I said we ran out of time and we're going to bring her back. Nancy, thanks for being on the show today.
Pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me once again.
No problem. We're going to be talking today about how to make positive first impressions in business. That's a great topic, and I think when you really think about it, you only have a few seconds to make that good first impression, don't you?
Absolutely true. And, you know, correct and polite behavior in a social or business setting, that first impression can literally make or break your career, your job opportunity, any relationship you're trying to create, to build on.
Well, I'm going to start by quickly defining what it is you do. So what is etiquette? I mean, people sometimes use that term in a very broad fashion. What is it and why is it important?
Good point, actually. Well, a lot of people don't really understand the difference between etiquette and protocol, which is sort of funny. Etiquette is polite and correct behavior. Correct is a key word here when in social or different business situations, whereas protocol is related a little more to the rules pertaining to what needs to be done for more formal events. So the correct procedure when dealing with people in formal events. Basically, etiquette is the correct and polite behavior for social and business situations. Protocol is the correct behavior, the etiquette for more formal situations.
Okay, so we're talking about how to properly speak, how to properly act, how to properly look when you make that first impression in the setting. So first of all, I look at it in two different ways. One is a setting that you're going into that you probably know what the setting's going to be like. You're going to meet with a CEO. You're going to meet with an organizational leader. You're going to kind of understand a little bit about it. So you kind of know the setting. The second is when you have a situation where you're going in blind. You have no idea what the culture is there. You have no idea what the clothing they might be wearing. You might be overdressed, underdressed. Those two situations happen when you're talking about that first impression. If we're talking initially about how do you handle that situation?
Absolutely. Well, I've got plenty of tips for you today. Basically, how you present yourself and your attitude is what will make you stand out from the competition. So attitude towards where you are working and who you are working for, towards yourself and your own career, towards the people you are meeting, and also with your colleagues at work, is very important. So why do we want to be able to apply etiquette to these situations? Is basically etiquette is linked to everything. Your attitude is linked to everything, no matter what your business. So there is correct behavior when selecting the correct clothing, which we spoke about the first time that we had a segment together.
Yes, yes.
Your approach, how you approach people, your body language, how you communicate in written form, verbally, and how you use the tools. Etiquette is related to all of these things. How you approach different situations when handling, for example, a business card, socializing with people in a more social setting, but still in the business arena. How do you sell yourself? How do you greet people of different ranks and cultures? How do you introduce yourself and others? Entertaining in business, there's etiquette to business meetings, which gifts to offer. So any successful business person knows that they are their best asset. And this knowledge will help them achieve their goals and will help them outshine others when in situations, when trying to create a positive first impression, whether they are fully prepared for what is about to take place or not. Etiquette knowledge will help you build awareness of yourself and of others in the room so you can better assess the situation. If you practice it, it will put you at ease in these situations, and therefore you'll be more present in the situation. You won't have that voice in the back of your mind saying, oh my gosh, am I doing this right or wrong, right?
You're absolutely correct. This is so key to not only people who are learning about business etiquette and really knowing how to handle situations when they're dealing with their boss, when they're dealing with a new client, when they're dealing with a new customer, they're dealing with a situation where they're uncomfortable. This is basic 101 information that unfortunately not a lot of people get training in school and business schools and so forth. So, I mean, I think you're right on the money.
That's right. And I'm happy to say that this is now a knowledge, though, that is sought after by many. Etiquette knowledge is now becoming a necessity and a main hiring criteria. So more often than none now, universities and the students of universities are looking for this type of training. I have worked with many universities, and there's a great interest in this.
Well, you only have one moment to make a good first impression. And whether you're in business, whether you're in hiring, whether you're in any particular situation, I talk about it all the time when we're talking to career people. You know, you make a judgment call within a matter of 5-10 seconds. If you want to be having this conversation with this person, if you want to run away from this person, if you just say, well, I mean, let me see what's going. I mean, that's what happens in life. This is life.
So
whether
true.
You're in a coffee house, whether you're at a social event, whether you're at a business meeting, within 10, 15, 20 seconds, you get that gut feel. You're like, okay, I like this person. Okay, God, can somebody just take me away as fast as I possibly can? I can't take it. Or, hey, okay, let's give them a chance. I mean, that's reality. Right?
That is the reality. All of my trainings, I say, who here judges others? And I will have some people who will say, well, everyone judges, and half the room will raise their hands. There are other people that will respond and say, well, I don't judge immediately. But the reality is, you do. 0 to 3 seconds, you will have an impression on whether or not you want to get to know this person or not. So what you see is key, obviously, when we become aware that it's 0 to 3 seconds. And judging others is not necessarily bad. It is a positive thing because you can judge others in a positive light.
Well, you know what? We're talking with Nancy Kosick of the Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette, and we're going to come right back with those tips on HR Power Hour. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Nancy Kosick, certified etiquette and protocol expert and trainer from the Nancy Kosick Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette. A big, long title, but great stuff. You do a lot of coaching and trainings for corporations and professionals all across the country and across the globe. You've seen these things. You're talking to universities. You're talking in Canada, across the country. Matter of fact, last time we talked, you were in Brazil. We're going to be talking about tips nets that are really good takeaways. But before you do that, could you give me an impression about what you think is the top number one thing in this first impression that people should be thinking about when they walk into a room?
Well, as I said, what you see is what you get. And this statement really needs no explanation. But I will give you some tips as to how you can enhance that first impression based on simply what people see from the get-go.
Perfect. Let's go through them.
Okay, wonderful. So what do we see? What do we see, David? We see a person's posture. We pay attention to facial expressions. And these things express attitude and your mood. So be aware. What we do pay attention to is what we call, it falls all under the umbrella of body language. So you want to be able to, when you're meeting anyone, whether you know them or not, to use signals that express open communication versus closed communication. Some tips that I can give you in brief is, for example, when we're meeting people, we want to make people feel as comfortable as possible. And very often we're sending messages to others subconsciously, not knowing, not realizing what it is that we're doing with our body. So try not to avoid basically crossing your arms when you're speaking with people or when you're about to approach people or talking in a group, because people will feel less comfortable approaching you versus someone else who might have the correct body language and their arms to the side, for example. When you're speaking with someone who approaches you, or while in communication, don't turn away from them. Make sure to turn your body towards the person ever so slightly. And if you happen to be seated and that person sits down immediately, well, then you'll want to lean slightly towards that person. And again, you're giving off signals that they may not be fully aware of, but that you know what you're doing. So you're gaining control of the situation a little bit more. We also talk about mirroring techniques versus matching techniques. Without getting into too much detail regarding that, mirroring is basically if someone happens to lean over, well, then you might want to lean over as though they were looking in the mirror, but sort of in the opposite direction. It doesn't mean that it's tit for tat and matching every single little movement that they're doing. Obviously, they're going to find that a little bit odd, right?
Yeah, they would.
Your arm movements as well, that's something you want to be careful about when you're about to approach someone or you're just starting off a conversation. Very often when we're excited, like when children express themselves, their arms are waving all over the place because as a child or the younger that you are, if you compare an adult to a child, when you're moving your arms around too much, it shows a level of insecurity and lack of control over your emotions because a child will use their body to express themselves because they don't have the verbal experience that adults have. So think of not moving your shoulders too much or the upper part of your arm and moving the forearm a little bit more if you're a person that speaks with their hands. Also speak with your palms upward versus downward. There's a difference. And if you try that right now, even though we don't see each other and we're actually speaking and we're on the radio with those or with our listeners, imagine yourself speaking with someone and place your palm, your arm forward, your hand forward, but your palm down. Now turn your palm upward. All of a sudden, when you turn the palm upward, there's a lighter feeling and a more open feeling to what it is that you are saying to that person. Make eye contact. And again, I mentioned your facial expressions. Remember that smiles are contagious. So in most cases, when you are going to smile at someone immediately when you're about to meet and greet them, well, then that person will smile back. And do consider territory. If you're about to meet someone right from the get-go, don't get too close to that person. So you'll want to stay at least at arm's length when you've met someone for the first time. Eye contact, right?
Yeah.
Pay attention and be aware of the eye contact that you are making. So if you are in a room and you're mingling and greeting and networking and you might be meeting people for the first time, pay attention to the person. If you're listening, you'll want to look at people within in your group that are speaking to you about 70% of the time. And if you are speaking, separate the time frame that you're speaking and look at those people. Don't ignore people that are in the group. While doing this, also pay attention, again, with your body language and now combining it with your eye contact, pay attention that when you do look away, pay attention to your peripheral vision and see if there are other people in the vicinity that might want to join your group because your body language is so great that you are attracting them to you. So be aware and don't hesitate to say, would you like to join us? And that will really create a fantastic first impression and exude leadership qualities. The other thing you want to pay attention to is property and how you present yourself. You are going to be judged based on your appearance and the things that you own. And as superficial as this sounds, it is the reality. What I mean by this is you want to basically pay attention to your property and your tools and the actual physical things that you use and make sure that they represent the field that you are in. So what I'm saying is something as simple as the pen that you're using. If you're a lawyer, you don't want to be showing up with a little white plastic Bic pen when you're meeting with your client. These are things that, again, though we hate to admit that they have an impact on what others think of you, they do. Don't show up with a scrap piece of paper all torn up and wrinkled. You want a proper notebook to be able to write your notes down and whatnot. How you maintain your office space. The bag or the briefcase that you choose. Imagine going to a law firm and you're going for an interview at a law firm, or you're at a cocktail event where there are other interns and students and people, and you're trying to make these connections, and there you are with a knapsack on your shoulder. That's not going to cut it, right?
Absolutely.
So people do generalize. It is, in a way, a sad thing, but these decisions do reflect on your attitude, once again, towards your job, who it is that you're meeting, how you feel about yourself, and whatnot. So, and for an interview in particular, you want to show you fit in. This will help your chances of being hired.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Nancy, and I go back to something that was said many years ago by a former supervisor of mine, and he said, and this was his words, he said, I don't have to be the smartest, I just have to look the smartest.
Absolutely, absolutely. It matters. Your role, your business, people are so diverse. It doesn't need to represent everything you are, but it is a part of who you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do it, right? In most cases, that is the end result. So, you know, if you want to be convincing as a king, well, you're going to put on that crown and you're going to put on that robe.
You're right.
So it's about using the tools to your advantage so you can succeed. It's that simple.
Yeah, see, this has been great information. Do you find when you're out there talking to companies and universities, and it doesn't matter what age individual, that this is knowledge that people are clamoring for? I certainly think it is.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And often people will not seek it, but when they know it is there, they want it all. They're like sponges. They take it all in and they want to know all about it. Because in the end, no matter what your position is in life, no matter who you are, no one wants to be viewed as unclassy, unknowledgeable. And etiquette and this knowledge will show leadership qualities, will help you attain an image of a professional and someone who looks like they know what it is that they're doing. And hopefully you've got the talent to add on to all of
right,
that.
And back it up, and back it up.
Talk,
that's
right.
You know, I ask one last question as we get ready to wrap up here, because I think it's an important question to ask. People have said, for example, hey, you know, I've had an image for many, many years. How do I transform my image without making it look like I'm transforming my image?
It's about the package you put together, and it's about developing that self-awareness and the knowledge of what those tools are and what the opportunities are that exist on a day-to-day basis and for those particular special events that you can take advantage of. Like your trade, etiquette and selling yourself is also a form of knowledge that you need to be aware of. The more cards you can stack on your side, the more successful you're going to be. You know, you're going to meet and greet people, and, you know, for the rest of your life, though technology is advancing, you know, face-to-face communication will never cease to exist. So all of these things that we spoke about, you know, just off the get-go, right from the get-go, from 0 to 3 seconds, the property, the eye contact, the posture, the body language, your appearance, your grooming, these are all key things that you need to better represent yourself. So if you want to bring up your game, these are the things you're going to pay attention to, and you're going to research, you're going to learn about it, and you're going to apply it. How you behave when you meet and greet people is something that is very important, because as soon as they do see you, and if you are approached or if you approach them, this is the first thing that takes place, right? And how often have we met several people in one evening or at a time and said, gosh, you know, I feel a better chemistry with that other person instead of that person? Well, I've got a little newsflash for everyone. It's not chemistry. It's basically how that person presented themselves and their behavior tactics, what it is that they use to communicate with other people. So when meeting and greeting, people want to feel a sense of, I'm ready, I'm awake, I'm energetic, I'm happy and pleased to meet you. I'm a trustworthy person. So these are a few tips that I could provide to you when it comes to meet and greet and how you can create an amazing first impression. You want to spend any time you meet anyone, okay? It basically gives a sense of interest and enthusiasm in the person that you're about to meet. Offer a handshake. Offer your hand in business at all times. There are no exceptions. This will give you the edge and the advantage. Usually the person that will extend their hands will have the advantage over what is about to take place. So you're expressing leadership qualities. So it's very, very important. And for women, it also eases the tension because often men in business still do not know whether or not they should shake your hand or not. And unless you are aware of cultural differences, well, then that's a whole other issue. Don't forget to make eye contact when meeting and greeting. Again, pay attention to the territory and space. And how you offer that handshake is very important. Make it an assertive handshake and not a passive or aggressive one.
Absolutely.
But pay attention to the handshake that you offer.
Nancy, these have been fantastic tips. And I'm sorry we're out of time, but I have promised you're going to be back again sometime, probably towards the second half of the year here on the HR Power Hour, because these are really fundamental, great tips. Where can somebody find out your information other than, of course, they can go to the HR Power Hour right after this show and download your information? But where else can they go?
Well, they can actually visit our website at NK, which are my initials, Nancy Koshick. So it's NKAI, P as in protocol, E as in etiquette.com. Our email address is on the website, and do keep in mind that we have one of the most diverse etiquette and protocol trainings throughout Canada, and it's very diverse. So what's on the website is limited, so feel free to contact us. Let us know your interest in the category, and we'll send you all the necessary information.
This has been fantastic. Thank you very much for being on the show today, Nancy.
I thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you soon.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to Kevin Dom, the author of Video Marketing for Dummies, there are 10 things really amazing bosses do. First, good bosses maintain control and get things done. Second, good bosses foster a sense of community, making room for everyone. Three, good bosses invite creative thinking. Four, good bosses create an open environment for voicing concern and frustration. Five, good bosses encourage career development for all their employees. Six, they run effective and efficient meetings. Seven, they build trust so people feel safe. Eight, they generate happiness in the workplace. Nine, they make sure people are responsible for their roles and actions. And 10, they know how to praise and show great gratitude. That is what amazing bosses do. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.